I believe that belief is the most important ingredient in our success. When we see it clearly and believe it dearly, we declare a defining moment, an epiphany, if you will. We declare, I can do this. I am doing this. Detailed success stories I know are the best way to build this belief. So I'm on a mission to interview every diamond and above in Young Living worldwide. I'm learning from them the granular details of what they thought then and what they think now. I gathered all their vital statistics on how many people they enrolled year one to the ER rate. Let's dive in and listen. Hey everybody, Richard Blissbrook here with yet another Road to Diamond interview. And today I have the glorious opportunity of actually interviewing my upline. I love that. I haven't used that phrase in about 40 years. I love that. My upline, Carla and Bill Green from Rocky Mountain Heights, British Columbia, or where are you? Alberta?
Alberta, yep.
Rocky Mountain House, Alberta. Yeah.
Yes. A suburb of Red Deer, so to speak, which is a famous community in Young Living. And I'm so honored to have the opportunity to get your story. Even though I know your story, I want the world in Young Living to know your story because it is unique and it's powerful. And it will inspire people to discover their own road to diamond. So Carla and Bill, say hello and we'll get into it.
Hi, everybody. Hi. Honored to be here. Thank you, Richard, for this.
You're welcome. All right. So first question always is, who were you? Where were you? And what were you doing before you had ever heard of Young Living?
I still am a physical therapist, a registered acupuncturist. Started my clinical practice in 1981, and we opened our own private physiotherapy clinic. Bill and I did that together. He gave up his job as a retail store manager.
Yep.
We moved to the little tiny town of Rocky Mountain House, and we opened up our clinic in 1985, April 15th, 1985.
Wow.
And why did you move to Rocky Mountain House?
Well, we wanted to get someplace that had, we wanted to raise children. We were thinking about having children at that stage. We thought we'd move someplace more rural, someplace that was a little smaller, a little more comfortable. We wanted someplace that had lots of outdoors. And so that's why we chose Rocky. Yep.
Off the map. We knew nobody.
All right, good. So what happened? And who was it that introduced you to Young Living? Like, how did you know this person? That's the most important question is, how did you know the person that introduced you to Young Living? And what did he or she say that got your attention? And I realize that was just the products back then. But who was it? And how did you know them? And what did they say?
I love continuing education, love to learn. I'm always going to conferences and expanding my skills. I was at the World Natural Medicine Conference in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada in the year 2000. There was a lady speaking by the name of Dr. Carolyn DeMarco, a Canadian medical doctor who had been my mentor through her books. I had never met her in person. She was doing a workshop called Menopause, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And I went to that workshop to learn what she was teaching and also to actually lay my eyes upon and be in the physical presence of this person I valued so much and to be able to introduce myself. I was very excited about learning pediatric acupuncture and was really talking to her when I met her at the end of the event about my great success with children. And she just looked at me and said, have you ever heard about using essential oils in your practice? And I was speechless because I hadn't even heard of essential oils. And she looked at me and literally the few words that drove straight into my heart was she said to me, all the amazing things you've been telling me about acupuncture in children and the amazing success, I can tell you those same stories using essential oils. And then she added, but only use Young Living because I've dabbled in essential oils for 3 or 4 years, and I kept putting them away because I wouldn't get consistent results until I found Young Living.
There you go. So she was kind of like, even like pre-social media influencer, she was an influencer through her books and her public education presentations.
Yes.
Beautiful. So what'd you do? Like, how did you engage with the products?
Because I trusted her so much, she looked at me and said the best way to get started was with the Everyday Oils Start Kit, which back then was 7 oils. And I don't think there was a diffuser included.
Nope.
And because I told her about Bill has chronic back pain from breaking his back 15 years ago then or whatever, she suggested the Raindrop Therapy Kit. So I put in an order for those two kits. And then I went home and, like any good practitioner does, I started using them on my kids and my husband to see what happens before I take it into my clinic, and was pretty impressed with the results. But had no real contact with her after that. There wasn't really any follow-up. There wasn't any place to learn. There were no books. There was no real internet, social media. So I just about went inactive. I got a notice saying, if you don't put in a 50 PV order, you're going to go inactive.
Good thing you got that notice.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's kind of a good thing.
A lot of people would be impacted if you hadn't got that notice.
Can you imagine, right?
So, Bill, I'm curious. I imagine Carla, along her career, has discovered all kinds of interesting things that she got excited about. Were you skeptical of this venture, even though it was just products, or were you supportive or neutral? Were you curious? What was your perspective?
Skeptical would be the right word. I do tend to be skeptical of most things anyway. And you're right, Carla does bring a lot of things home.
she brings a lot of stray animals home.
She does. And so I'm going, oh, good, it's another one. And so that's where basically I was at. And then when I discovered it was a multi-level marketing company, I was even more so skeptical because some of Carla's family members had been involved in a different network marketing company. And it had left an unusual flavor in my mouth over that.
Unusual. That's a good word. Unusual. All right. So, because these interviews are about the road to diamond, I want to fast forward to the build, because until we start building, not much rank advancement is going to happen. And I realize you had some accidental stuff happen. So tell us, how many years passed that you dabbled in the products before something started to happen with building a team, and what turned on your lights to building a team intentionally?
So in 2007, we went on Young Living first ever incentive cruise. So back a little bit before that, in 2003, we had a big crisis in our lives. We got our public funding for our physiotherapy clinic was axed with 28 days notice. It was our only income in our family. At that point, our 4 children were 10 to 17, and we were scared. And
That was about 80% of our business.
Yeah.
So, wake up call.
Yeah. A bit of a wake up call, yeah.
So after a few pity days of, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? It's like, let's make lemon out of lemonades. And we put together a facial rejuvenation system to help people to look younger. We did it on each other to see if it worked. It worked well enough that we started to offer that service in our clinic, which was a paid service, knowing that people will pay a lot of money to look younger when they won't spend money on whether their back hurts and stuff like that.
Right.
So when that happened, the results were so great for Bill and I that people that knew us were literally like hunting us down, phoning us on Sunday afternoon, you have to teach us how to do this. So we then put together a system that I wanted it to be total body health, not just whether you looked younger. So we researched on a cellular level, what are the 5 reasons why a cell breaks down and ages? We wanted to put something safe and natural in place to address each of those 5 areas. Well, of course, it includes nutrition, getting toxins out of your life, having cleaner products in your home, cleaner skincare. So we built it into a system that included the microcurrent machine, which does the main work. And of course, Young Living was our
Young Living products.
We loved our Young Living products. So we started teaching this as a training program for people to come learn. Well, of course, the first people that started taking our program were people in our downline. And that generated, because it uses so many Young Living products, it started generating massive essential rewards orders in different legs, 400, 500, 600 PV. And it was a funnel bringing people into our team members' lives of people that they could then get into their Young Living team. So we went from senior star to silver in 6 months once we started teaching our facial rejuvenation, second chance facial rejuvenation system. Now, that doesn't sound like anything now,
no.
But back then we were bloody rock stars to go that far that fast. And what happened then is that landed in the same time that Young Living had this incentive contest on, which we didn't pay any attention to the, like, we literally were like hands over our ears. We didn't read any emails. I knew there was a contest, but I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know the rules. And so November of 2006, we got a phone call from Mike McLean,
yep.
From Young Living, who was in top. I recognized his name and he was like, "You've won a contest." And I told him he had the wrong number. I did. I said, "You've got the wrong person. You've got the wrong number." But I recognized his name. So I knew it wasn't a prank call. And I said, "I haven't entered any contests, so I can't win anything," because I was so negative on network marketing. I didn't want to know anything about it. And so he said, "Well, you don't enter this contest." And I said, "Well, then how did we win? Like, how do you win a contest if you don't enter?" And he says, "You earned it." And I said, "Well, how did we earn it?" And he said, "Well, you helped people get started in Young Living. You helped them get started on Essential Rewards. And that gave you points to win this." And I went, "Okay, well, we've done that with our patients in our clinic. And we've done that with our students that came and took our courses and that as well." And he said, "Well, you've won." And so then I thought, well, that was pretty cool. So I phoned Bill because I was at another course in another city learning more cool stuff to bring home. And I phoned him and told him, and he said, "You can go if you want to, but I'm not. I will not go on a ship with a bunch of MLM crazy people." Those were his exact words.
That's kind of embarrassing today to say that.
Well, yeah. And so I said to him, "I've never been on a cruise ship, but I've heard that they're really big and that we could probably hide. This is like, it's Canada in January. We freeze. This will be amazing." So we accidentally won this. Then we had another crisis at our clinic in December of 2006, where a whole bunch of our support staff left unexpectedly. So we were canceling our cruise, and our second eldest son, Adam, who was at our oldest, was gone from home. He stepped up and said, "Mom and Dad, you guys have worked your heinies off all your life. You've won this free cruise. I'll run the clinic. I'll look after my 13-year-old sister and 15-year-old brother, and you go do this." And we hesitated, but we knew he was a pretty confident guy. And we went, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yeah." And so because of that, we went, "Okay, we'll go."
Wow.
Then on that ship, we almost got shipped overboard because people were super excited. First ever incentive contest. Well, the topic around the table was, what was your strategy? Like, what did you employ to get to win this? And when you say you didn't try and it was an accident, you're not very popular.
Right. They don't want to hear that.
No.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so what happened on the cruise, if anything? Did something happen on the cruise that changed your perspective about network marketing?
Actually, yeah. We met a fellow by the name of Don Clare, actually. He's still a Young Living member, still going strong. And Don said, "You guys don't know anything about network marketing, do you?" And we were like, no. Nothing. And he goes, "If you got a little bit of time," he said, "we're on a cruise ship anyway. If you got a little bit of time, we'll go in a corner somewhere. I'll explain it to you and maybe it'll make more sense." So we did. We sat down, spent probably about an hour talking to Don. And he explained the whole thing about network marketing. And we were like, "Huh, that's really cool. There's a business here. There's there's like, this is cool. So what we decided at that point in time was we decided when we get home, because Don had said, in your team of people, there's going to be, you know, a few people who want to do this as a business. So why don't you just call them when you get home and see what they say? So we thought, well, what the heck? Came home, tried it out. And yeah, there were a bunch of people who said, yeah, we'd like to do this, which was really quite surprising to us. Yeah. And by the way, just so everybody knows, I had really changed my mind about Young Living network marketing people. Just so you know, yeah, just saying that.
Well, the ship was full of such, like, oh, I mean, Don awesome. Had nothing yeah. to gain. No. Like, he was cross-lying to us. He had nothing to gain by just sitting down and helping us. And that was, like, all the people we met on that ship were these big-hearted, wonderful, caring, giving people.
And nice people. Yeah.
These are really nice people. We like hanging around with these people. So yeah. Then we decided we'd dive in and actually do this as a business.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting how many different things could make or break an entire career. You know, you going to that event and listening to your mentor speak, you know, Adam, well, and then, you know, what if the economy never would have changed with your clinic? Maybe you would have never come up with the skin rejuvenation idea. No. And maybe that, and then you would never have won the cruise. Right. And Adam never would have stepped in. And what if Adam hadn't stepped in? I'm always fascinated by all these little events that if any one of them hadn't happened, you might not have seen the light and seen the possibility. But so here you are, and sounds like it's about 2007, and you just come off the cruise. So that's only 11 years ago. What did you go about doing once you embraced the idea of building intentionally?
We were more open and vocal, obviously, about the business. We started talking to people about joining the business, including our two oldest sons. Then Adam turned 18 shortly after that cruise, and we were talking to our two oldest sons about how this would be great for their age group, and that went nowhere fast. And then basically went about building. Now in hindsight, you know, I stood behind my medical credentials, which slowed us down dramatically. So we stumbled our way along. Again, back then, there weren't a lot of books, wasn't a lot of support online and that, but we worked at it. And I'd say probably, well, we worked hard enough that we went, okay, if we can accidentally win a cruise, what can we do when we try? And so we won every single incentive contest from 2007 to 2013, including being in the top five in the world in one of them. And so we worked at it that hard. I think the biggest change probably happened when I decided not to go on one of the cruises that we won. It was the year Katrina was 16. I'd spent 3 weeks in Europe with her for her 16th birthday, which would not have happened without Young Living Income. And then right on the tail of that, we had a 10-day Mediterranean cruise. So I said to Bill, I don't feel like I should go. You know, Katrina's going to be home alone, 16-year-old daughter, and you need to go on your own. And he was, no, I'm not going if you're not going. And I'm like, it's a $10,000 prize. We had a cabin with a butler because we were in the top 10. And so we looked at all our children, and the only one that could take time off to go was Adam. So we offered him a free trip to the Mediterranean with his dad. And then that was another one of those things that could have changed the course of our lives dramatically. Because yep. After being on that cruise was when Adam went, okay, it isn't all just a bunch of middle-aged women peddling oils. It's actually got a real business behind it. And he came home and was a lot more serious about doing this as an income-generating activity for himself.
And then he went on to become a Royal Crown Diamond, and the rest is history.
Yep.
So tell me about the 6 or 7 years that you won all the contests. That required a lot of personal promotion, connecting with people, presenting to people, recruiting people. How did you go about doing that? What was the mindset that you had, and where did you find the people, and what did you say to people that had them say, yes, sign me up?
again, I think up until we started learning from Adam, when Adam threw his name into the hat to actually do this, he started to really research and study, and he'd come to us and go, this is a way to do it better. One of the things that took me aback was he's like, you got to take all the letters off behind your name on your Young Living business card. And I'm like, what? I went to school for a lot of years and put heart, blood, and sweat and tears into those letters. He goes, Mom, he says, people think they have to have those kind of credentials to share. And if you don't have those on your business card, and if you don't bring that to the forefront when you teach, you're going to have better success. So that moved us forward a lot more quickly, was stepping away from that professional identity that we had. It was a lot of classes, a lot of one-on-ones, but a lot of classes, health education classes. It was a lot of just hard work on our part because we weren't duplicating very well. Because of the fact I being very science-based, you know, someone would come to class and I'd send them home with, you know, 10 sheets of paper on research studies. And, you know, my patients, I'd send them out the door with 10 pages of research studies and just having to unlearn a lot of the things that don't work. So lots of times we had discussions with people about embracing the business side. And their response was, well, I don't have the credibility you have. I'm not a medical professional. I think the other thing that took a big mind shift for me, for sure, was embracing the fact that financial health is just as important. Like, I could talk passionately about, you know, heart health and, you know, muscle health and all that. But when it came to money and finances, I would always sort of retreat and kind of hide or sort of not broach finances. And having that mental click in my head that went, you know what, why do we shy away from talking about money? It's probably one of the most important aspects of a person's health because it impacts so many other parts of their health. And when I made that shift, I think I was more passionate about speaking about money's important, finances are important, and this is an amazing vehicle to do it with.
And what did you hear or read or watch, or who did you listen to that supported you in that money shift?
Well, originally it was the 4-year career book, which Adam brought to us when he found it. So that made a big difference. And probably one of the biggest clicks in my head was actually you listening to one of your coaching calls and listening about you talking about how, you know, the average person doesn't understand what an essential oil is and is confused and kind of thinking we're weird, whereas everybody understands a little bit of extra money in their lives and a second job or stuff like that. And it was listening to your teachings that made that real big click in my brain that went the right way.
Wow. Good question I asked.
That was an easy answer.
So a lot of great things have happened in the last couple of years with you. Can you speak to, like, have you had any shifts in the last 2 or 3 years that resulted in growth in your business? Anything like, you kind of had phase one was all about the products and phase two was accepting network marketing and then actually going to work and intentionally building. And I suppose that got you to Diamond. We didn't talk about that, but all of your stats and timing is going to be published on the page so people can read that. Did you move into a third phase in the last 2 or 3 years? And if so, what was that and what led to it?
Yes, we hit Diamond in 2013. In March of 2013, Adam hit Diamond in May of 2013. We were both silver and gold. Adam was silver and we were gold the year before at convention. So one of the main shifts getting to Diamond was our 2012 convention, Bob Proctor, whatever yeah. he said. Combined with the 4-year career, because that came into our lives right about that same time. So our jump from diamond or gold to diamond I think was a factor of those things with mind shifts and tools. Adam went on very quickly to become Royal, and we parked at Diamond for 5 whole years.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What was that about? What did that feel like that Adam goes on to Crown Diamond and used parked, another interesting word, at Diamond for 5 years? What were you doing for those 5 years? Were you resting? Were you struggling? Were you working just as hard? It just didn't happen. What was going on?
Management mode.
Ah.
Comfortable. We may have been diamonds, but we had higher than diamond average income because we have a few rock stars in our team. And just being comfortable, not really having a bigger why to drive us, I think, to do that extra. And it was okay for a year or two. Obviously, we were giddy excited and super happy for Adam when he went Crown and Royal so quickly. You know, cheered him on and all of that. There were many times where I said to Bill, you know, what's wrong with us? Why aren't we going there? And look at what Adam's done. And Bill's comment was always like, Adam has one focus in his life. You have a clinic, you have a second chance facial rejuvenation business, you're traveling and teaching that around the world. You know, we have a lot more irons in the fire. We also had multiple income streams other than Young Living as well. And he said, you know, when you're only focused on one thing, you know, then that's a lot easier. So I don't know if that was an excuse or for real. Yeah, there's all kinds of different things, but I think part of it too was just personal growth, because my money shift about money only happened in the last year and a half, 2 years. Personal stuff happened. My mom was dying, spent a year basically nursing her, flying to 4,000 miles once a month. My brother unexpectedly got ill and died. So there was personal emotional stuff that put the brakes on for sure for some of that time. But what actually got us out of the funk was having someone who cared enough about us to kick us in the ass, basically. And that was our Lori Berger, our Canadian, she was the head of North America for Young Living, but also head of Canada. And she literally just called me up into her office, sat me down and said, I can see your numbers. Why the heck is this not happening? Last year, yes, you had an emotional, horrible year, but we're now into March. And there is no reason why this shouldn't have already happened. So why don't you get creative and make it happen? And a combination of that and knowing that Gary Young was very ill and had a suspicion that he wasn't going to get out of this one alive. And because we'd known him for 17, 18 years, we really, really wanted him to see us move forward. And so we were able to hit Crown before he died. And hit Royal after he died. So there was some bigger whys, I guess, emotional whys, you know, being able to give that to Gary and also having someone who knew our potential, knew we weren't living up to our potential, that basically, you know, put it in front of our faces and held our feet to the fire and said,
always boils down to motivation. When we're sufficiently motivated, we figure out a way to do it, no matter what it is. Beautiful, beautiful story. So one of the things, there's a lot of things we could talk about, but I'm like looking for like, what is the one single message that you all might be able to impart to up and coming diamonds? So you were stuck at Diamond for a long time, and it was even a struggle, you know, for you to like embrace the business part of the business, the income part of the business, which is all mindset stuff. And so could you speak a little more to what it's like to have more income from Young Living than you ever thought possible, than you ever imagined, that you are comfortable spending, comfortable earning, and how that out-earning your comfort zone, if I could call it that. So if our comfort zone looks like this, like how we see ourselves, our identity is, well, you know, we're frugal and we don't need much. And, you know, we fly economy and we buy, you know, three jars of this and, you know, that kind of mindset. The challenge is when you have that kind of mindset, but you start earning a lot more money than that mindset, is you tend to sort of sabotage the money and pull the money back to the mindset. But you didn't do that. Maybe you did right away, but eventually what you did is you expanded that comfort zone, expanded that vision. So can you speak to that? Because I think those, that could be a struggle for a lot of people, is maybe they're only earning $2,000 or $3,000 a month for Young Living, but that's $2,000 or $3,000 a month more than they ever thought they would. And that's a lot of extra part-time income. And what do I do with it now? Like, do I buy a new car? Do I save it? Do I hoard it? Do I give it away? Right? So could you speak to this self-esteem issue of money and how you, your personal, both of your journeys through that? Because Adam has shared with me growing up, you had quite the frugal mindset going on there out in the woods. Bill.
That's fair.
You know, chopping your own wood and heating your house with your chopped wood and eating whatever you can catch out in the woods. You want to speak? Can you both speak to that? And speak to it from the standpoint of, let's just say I'm somebody struggling in Young Living with expanding my motive, expanding my vision, expanding my comfort zone, so that I can bring more abundance into my life. And then, you know, the thing people don't think about is the more abundance we bring in, the more abundance we're rippling down through our team. You know, so if you're making $3,000 or $4,000 a month, there's a bunch of people making $300 or $400. Right? Can you speak to that?
Well, I guess I'm still fairly frugal. So yes, I still do chop my own wood and I still do.
You got a beautiful, fancy BMW motorcycle. You got that Can-Am Spider motorcycle thing or whatever it is.
That's true.
Fancy new car. You have expanded your comfort zone.
We have.
Unless those things burn wood.
But the other thing we did, which was, I think, really cool, one of the cool things for me anyway, was to be able to walk in at into the food bank and present them and just hand them over a check and go, here you go. And then have the fellow kind of almost faint and go, are you serious? I'm going, yes. Yeah. And he goes, do you want the newspapers here for this? And I'm going, no, just, this is a food bank. You guys need it. And he was like, oh, we need it, but wow. Or to go into the women's shelter, same thing, and hand her a check and say, here you go, thank you. You guys do a great job. And her going, is this really the amount you want to give us? Like, is this an error on your part? Like, you added zeros here where you should not have.
Right.
And go, no, that's the right amount. That's actually pretty cool. So yes, we, you know, still frugal, but yeah, don't mind giving it away either. That's a cool thing. Yeah, it really is.
For me, I think it was also always about health and wellness and family. Mm-hmm. The real blessing of Young Living was made known to me when my mother started her palliative care journey. And literally I flew to Ontario once a month for 2 weeks for 10 months. And because I was able to do that, she was able to stay living with my brother and sister-in-law and not have to be in a facility. I was gone enough that we didn't actually book patients anymore. We just had a list of when we know Carla's here, we'll call you. There was no way that I could have ever pulled that off without our Young Living income. And the gift that was to my mother and to my brother and sister-in-law who were looking after her, the gift it was to me, knowing that this, she lived to be 96 and a half, and she was a Young Living poster girl. She loved it. She used it. She would call me up after convention and go, what's new? What can we add to my routine so that I can continue to be as vibrant as I am now? And and then when my brother was sick in hospital, we could drop everything, jump in the car, drive 7 hours, spend 16 days by his bed, buy whatever was necessary to give him the best chance of winning. And knowing that when he passed, we did everything humanly possible and that money wasn't stopping us from providing. And that is more valuable to me than anything. And that wouldn't have happened without the money. So, you know, people's families and the people they love are the most near and dear to their hearts. And the trouble is you have to build it before you have the crisis. Because when you have the crisis, you can't just run out there and start having one-on-ones and have that kind of income. So that's kind of my message to people now is you don't know when you're going to need it for your own self. And goodness knows, if you end up with way too much than you can use, then the food bank.
There's
like, what do you love? Animals? Do you love helping, you know, women? Like, whatever your passion is, this world needs a lot of help. And people who help others to earn and earn a lot of money doing it are going to be the people that continue to help others with that extra.
Yeah. So that is the fastest way to unleash personal power is take the ambition focus off yourself. Like, I don't need a bigger car. I don't need a bigger house. I don't need nicer clothes. But as soon as you discover a passion of serving other people less fortunate, whether it's children or the elderly or, you know, abused women or, you know, people that need food or anything, no one can earn enough money to solve those problems. So when you discover your passion of service, it gives you a vision that's bigger than your own petty concerns about, I don't want to be seen as greedy, I don't want to be seen as rich, I don't want to be seen as materialistic. And it allows you to open up your personal power and embrace and bring abundance in, because you have a place for that abundance to go that has no limits. Beautiful secret to changing your identity, your self-esteem, and unleashing massive motivation. I'm going to wrap here with asking you, what's next for you two? What's the journey looking like for the next 5, 6, 7 years? Obviously, you could retire, whatever that looks like, or you could keep serving people. What's your plan?
Definitely, I just want as many people in our team to know what it feels like to not have to look at your financial statement to be able to decide simple little things for your lives. And for some people, that's not a lot of extra money. And for other people, you know, it can be, but to be able to lift as many people in our organization and in Young Living, like we do not limit our help to the people in our team. It's like whoever's in Young Living that reaches out to us, we serve them as much as we possibly can, because the freedom that there is to feeling like whatever you want, whether it's just whether you want to buy a fancier steak for dinner or whether you want to lay a big check on at the food bank, the feeling of being able to do that, the freedom without having to have the stress of finances is like an amazing gift that most people go to their graves and have never, ever experienced it ever. So bringing the people in our team and in Team Young Living up through the ranks, as far as they personally want to go, and teaching them that personal growth, I think, is the key to ranking higher. And I do think for us, diamond to crown to royal was a huge personal growth thing. It was, you know, getting out of our own heads, having a bigger vision of service for the world rather than just our little world. And, you know, living up to other people's expectations of us, where we were just playing too small. We were playing.
Yeah. Oh, I just thought of a last question I got to ask you. Have you had any of those tough conversations with others like Lori had with you?
Yes, actually we have. And in fact, that's what motivated us and helped us to get go, well, Lori put the gauntlet down about the 5th or 6th of March, and we hit, I set crown goal for being the 26th of March, because it was our 5th year anniversary of the month of hitting diamond. It was my 60th birthday on the 26th of March. And so I made a goal of hitting crown by the 26th of March, and I missed it. I hit it on the 28th of March. And so that, her stepping up and doing that, which was a gift for us, her stepping up and doing that gave us the vision and the courage to go to people in our team and actually do that for them.
Yeah.
Basically say, I see greater things in you. We are here to help and guide and support and serve if you wish to step up and step in. And that's what got us to crown and then got us to royal in September. So it was 6 months later, we hit royal, and it was doing what was done for us. Find people.
That's leadership, when you care more about the movement of other people than you are concerned about how they're going to feel about your conversation.
Yeah.
Most people play small in those conversations. They play safe. They play to be liked as opposed to playing to move people. And Lori's courage and vision for you was a huge gift, not only to you, but the ripple effect to thousands of other people.
Yeah.
Hey, the two of you are a phenomenal gift to the Young Living community worldwide. I'm so proud and honored to be on your team. Your family, thank you for so much for sharing your story with the Road to Diamond group. And my prediction is, people that watch and listen to this, this will be their defining moment that they'll look back on and they'll share with other people. When I listened to Carla and Bill's story, everything changed for me. Well, thank you so much, the two of you. I appreciate you immensely.
Thank you. We appreciate you even more. So thank you very much.
Very much so, Richard. Thank you.
All right, gang. Thank you very much for joining us for Road to Diamond. Stay tuned for the next interview.
Thanks for listening. I trust you got some golden nuggets. If you're inspired sufficiently, I invite you to join me for Run Through Rank. Run Through Rank is a coaching program designed to have you blow through your next rank with never having to worry about requalifying. We come together twice a week for an hour for 60 days. You'll end up with 16 to 20 hours of custom video content you can study forever. This could be the best investment you ever make. Check it out at runthroughrank.com. That's runthruRank.com. We'll see you there.